It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Joining us for his regular visit, LAPD Chief Michael Moore. Chief, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk first of all about what sort of enforcement, if any, that the department is being called on to conduct for people to keep social distance, wear face coverings when they're out in the world. Are officers at all intervening in any of those cases or reminding or citing individuals who aren't complying?
So we're not citing at this point. There's been a number of reports that there's been arrests and or citations, and that particularly communities of color were being impacted while other communities were being left alone. And that I just want to clarify right off the bat that what we do is in regards to face coverings and masks is we engage people with the Safer at Home order, the Department of Public Health expectations that if you're in a public setting that you're going to wear a mask or face covering, and we educate people and we ask people to comply. If they're in a business, such as a grocery mart or other location that's open during the Safer at Home quarantine, then they're required by the public health order to wear a mask. And if they don't, then they are the business owner has been directed and is required to have that person leave. In those instances, if the person refused, then they the business could call LAPD, and we have responded to those, and we again, educate, we engage with the violator, and either they comply with the requirements of wearing a face covering or mask, or they're required to leave the location. In that instance, the enforcement would be the business owner making a private person's arrest for trespassing for, again, failing to comply with the requirements of being present in that business. We've also had in today's Times, LA Times, had an editorial on this relative to our efforts out at the beach. And with the opening or partial reopening of the beach, we've educated and or informing the public that they need to wear face coverings or masks anytime they're there with someone other than an immediate family member. And there's no allowing for sunbathing or bringing out furniture or other thing onto the beach. And in that engagement, again, my expectation of my people is that they're going to educate, they're going to engage, they're going to direct people to leave. And as a last resort in the beach area, people are subject to being arrested or a citation. And to date, we've been able to avoid that. And so we're trying to strike a balance where we encourage the better angels, if you will, for people to abide by these requirements and not require officers to take enforcement action.
We're talking with LAPD Chief Michael Moore. If you have a question for him about law enforcement in the time of the pandemic, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Have you gotten very many calls to come out to supermarkets or other retail establishments to remove someone who refuses to comply with distancing or face covering?
Not in proportion to all the other radio calls that we get generally 6,000 or so radio calls a day that officers will respond to, and we'll have less than 100 that are COVID related, and most of those are not related to people. They're related to a medical circumstance. They're not really related to an issue of a person not wearing a face mask or otherwise. The other area of work that we've had is the vast majority of non-essential businesses have complied with the mayor's order, but there have been violators. And in those instances, we go out, we admonish the business owner to comply with the order. And in instances in which they haven't, then after repeated warnings, we will take enforcement action. And to date, since the beginning of the mayor's order, which was in approximately, I believe, the middle of March, we've had about 110 businesses that we've done what's called a complaint application, which is a criminal filing with the city attorney's office, and the business is subject to a fine and unlikely but a possible criminal sanction. So the vast majority of Angelinos, though, are complying. There are times and instances in which people, as this pandemic has worn on, have gotten into public settings and have not worn a mask or otherwise. I was just out the other day in a circumstance at my own home and walked out without wearing a mask, and it wasn't purposeful. It's just keeping it in your mind is not always the first thing. So our officers engaging people and educating them is, I think, critical to building trust, but also achieving compliance.
Again, if you'd like to talk with Chief Moore, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Astrogoth writes on the page, how is research into less than lethal weapons progressing?
It's progressing okay. I will say that a year and a half ago, nearly a year and a half ago, we challenged the academia as well as the business model of companies that produce weapons that are less lethal, meaning that they're not deadly force. Generally, they are able to inflict pain or a physical force that causes an individual to comply. So an individual with a knife or another edge weapon or a stick, not having or requiring the officer to have to resort to deadly force to protect themselves from serious injury or death. So historically, we've had to rely upon an electronic control device, sometimes known as a taser, and we've had what's called a beam bag. We've, in the last few years, moved up to what is a larger beam bag. It's called a 40 millimeter that we found to be more effective in as a less lethal tool without unduly or causing significant injury to the person in which the weapon's applied. But we, a year and a half ago, we said to the industry, we're kind of static on this. We're looking for some newer tools and utilizing better technology. What came from that is we're currently using what's called a bolo wrap. We're experimenting with it. It actually shoots a boomerang, if you will, or a wrap of cords that wrap around a person's legs or middle extremities, which keeps them from running away or keeps them from attacking an officer. And that's the latest tool that we've had. But I think the development is there's still more opportunities out there, but we're scanning the marketplace and trying to find it. But I put an open call out to our inventors to come up with a way that would allow officers and the public that in times of conflict and in physical engagement, that we do not have to rely upon or resort to the use of deadly force, but lesser levels.
That lasso thing is pretty impressive. I saw the video demo of how that works.
It is, but it has to date. We've had it in place now for about 5 months. We've used it, I think, less than 10 times. It has had a couple failures, but it's also had a number of instances in which it's been successful. So we're still evaluating it. We'll bring back to the Board of Police Commissioners our findings and recommendations. I'm hopeful that while no tool, no weapon system, if you will, is 100% effective, that it'll be a tool that finds merit with us continuing to use it and gives officers an important alternative when faced with an individual who may have mental illness, may be under the influence of a narcotic or drugs, and is presenting a serious threat to the officers, whether it be through physical force or threat of force, or it be the holding a stick or a rod or potentially even a knife. And this so it gives our officers standoff distance.
All right. Tasha in the Crenshaw District says, in my neighborhood, there have been a lot of LAPD helicopter fly orders with announcements to wear masks and socially distance. She wonders if it's necessary to do that.
Yes, I'm not aware of our personnel doing that. I know we have patrolled the beaches during the overnight hours because of the luminescence that is going on this season. We've had a number of people, spectators, and I understand it's a beautiful sight. I've not seen it myself, but I understand it's drawn large crowds. And we have used the airship to remind people that the beaches are closed during that period of time and for them to not be there. I'm not aware of any use of our airships for advising people on masks, and nor would I think it would be effective. Frankly, the communication from those loudspeakers with the chopper wash, it's at times it can be difficult to understand. So I would look to those communications only being during an emergency situation, and I would not think that the use of people reminding people to wear face coverings or masks would be warranted by an airship making that communication. If that were to happen, I would encourage people to let us know. And certainly we'll look into and ensure that our air crews understand what my expectations are.
Tasha, if you can call back and tell us the precise location where this happened in the Crenshaw District or South Los Angeles, that would be helpful. And then we could pass that on to the chief. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We have many more questions coming in for listeners to ask Chief Michael Moore of the LAPD about what's going on with his department with COVID-19. We'll ask about the latest crime figures, which crimes are down as a result of people staying home and which ones are showing a rise. We'll be back in just 60 seconds. LAPD Chief Michael Moore with us on Air Talk. Chief Moore, what are we seeing in the way of crime trends with people's work and home life so drastically different?
Well, it's evolving. The initial days and weeks of this COVID-19, we saw a dramatic drop in crime in all categories. And then and about the second to third weekend, we began seeing an interesting phenomenon with an increase in grand theft autos, so stolen vehicles. And then that extended into an area of commercial burglaries because of, we presume, because of a number of businesses that were closed due to the safer at home order. What we, in response to that, we directed our enforcement efforts and we saw our with an increase of 24% of our burglaries, commercial burglaries, we saw more than doubling of our burglary arrests. So we were able to, applying our investigative resources and patrol resources, we're able to hold some accountability to those that were preying upon those closed businesses. Same happened with the auto theft. The vehicles were generally stolen for 1 to 2 to 3 days and then dropped in the areas where they were taken. But we saw our arrests nearly double on those as well. The interesting phenomenon on that, on both these factors, and one of the concerns we have is with the zero bail that was instituted by the judicial system in an effort to downsize prison populations, we have seen an increase in the frequency of people being rearrested. So they're arrested for an account like they've stolen a vehicle or they've broken into a commercial establishment or other type of serious crime. And because of the zero bail, they're immediately released. And what that's created is a circumstance of repeat offenders where we've seen them arrested time and time again. I think there's a report in today's paper about an arrest in Escondido that unfortunately the person was arrested 5 or 6 times for significant offenses, felony crimes, and ultimately was arrested most recently for a stabbing of another individual. So that in that instance, that violent crime resulted in a bail, but the other ones did not, and it somewhat fueled or facilitated him to go out and commit more crime.
So you've got kind of a real-world experiment of the no-bail policy that was sort of pushed forward with COVID-19, right?
Well, we do, and we do have an appeal process that we can ask a judge to afford a bail on an offense, and I've seen us apply that where the judges have recognized that the recidivist, that the individual who's habitually going committing additional crimes, they are willing to impose a bail other than zero. However, I'm troubled because at the same time, this past weekend, we had an arrest of a woman who was involved in a hit-and-run felony. And in that case, the bail was set at zero. And that, you know, we went and did apply for a deviation and was denied. So I think that what's going to be important on this issue of bail reform is that there is an assessment tool that allows both the people, those representing the people of the state of California, as well as the defense, public defense or others, to on a case-by-case basis bring before a judge. And the arbitrariness of zero bail, I don't think works. But I also don't think that the inconsistent means of the existing bail system that existed previous to COVID-19 had it entirely right either. So I think this is something we see occurring not just here in California, but across the state or across the country. New York is, for instance, probably the one that comes immediately to mind that went with a zero bail prior to COVID-19, and they have seen some pretty strong negative reactions that I think all of us should pay close attention to.
All right. LAPD Chief Michael Moore with us. Tasha did call us back and said the neighborhood where she heard those orders given from the police helicopters were near Hyde Park Boulevard between Crenshaw and West Boulevard. So just so that's the neighborhood. Chief, we've had a number of listeners, Diana in Hollywood, Glenn on the Air Talk page, want to ask about your wife and daughter going to Arizona on vacation. And I know the department put out a statement that there'd be no comment about your family members, and we understand that for security reasons, of course. But is there some response you can give us to the public concerns about that and the potential exposure that it puts you at?
Well, I'm thankful of my wife and daughter. They're home. They're safe. I have previously said, my public information director echoed basically my statement, which was I'm not going to comment on my family. The family matters are private and one that I wish to continue that position. Their actions were lawful. They traveled to a location that was allowed for the activities they're involved in, and they. I also encouraged them to be safe, and they were, I believe, and they're back home, and I'm thankful that they're safe and healthy, and that's as far as I'll comment.
Okay. Also wanted to ask you before we go about Pan Pacific Park. We have a listener who said people climb the fence, they play soccer on the field, and police aren't doing anything about it. There are 40 people playing soccer, and they're unface covered.
So in those instances, we are responding to those types of calls, and our officers are, again, engaging and educating and standing by for people to comply. This is our effort is not to go in and rally up 40 people and subject them to a citation or to an arrest. We recognize the efforts now are to downsize our custody settings as an effort to ensure that people are not exposed to COVID-19. And the effort to, however, is not to ignore or minimize in those violations of organized activities on parks need to comply with the order, and that is for officers to, it is appropriate for them to go out there to meet with the group, safe distancing, and encourage them and then direct them and stand by and ensure that they comply with the order.
Body cam video has been released by the department after a citizen video was released of one of your officers repeatedly punching a Boyle Heights man who was unarmed. The investigation proceeding for potential use of excessive force. What are you specifically looking at in this incident?
Well, the investigation is still ongoing, and we've involved, it's a criminal investigation and as well as administrative one, and we have invited the district attorney's office to monitor the investigation. It's my intention to have it completed and to evaluate the officer's actions as well as the individual that they came in contact with, and I'll look from that from a standpoint of department policy as to use of force, as to the nature of the tactics used and exhibited, and then the entire case will be referred to the district attorney's office for them to review relative to any criminal aspects of that involvement. In the interim, the officer involved has been assigned home. I've relieved him of his peace officer powers, and he is on administrative leave pending the outcome of this investigation. It's a very serious one. It's one that I take I don't take lightly. We assigned our Force Investigation Division.
All right.
To conduct it, and I released a critical incident video on it just this last week that provided the body-worn video that was part of the investigation.
I have to conclude, Chief Moore. Thank you so much for joining us. Please keep yourself safe, and we wish the best to you and your department. Michael Moore, Chief of the LAPD.